We're reading in the book of Numbers. This week we come to chapter 20, starting at verse 22. Numbers 20, starting at verse 22. One of the things that calls us to exercise faith as we enter into worship on our Lord's Day services is that when we read from the scriptures, we are hearing the word of God. So now, by faith, let us listen and receive his word. Numbers 20, verse 22. Now the children of Israel, the whole congregation, journeyed from Kadesh and came to Mount Hor. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in Mount Hor, by the border of the land of Edom, saying, Aaron shall be gathered to his people, for he shall not enter the land which I have given to the children of Israel, because you rebelled against my word at the water of Meribah. Take Aaron and Eleazar, his son, and bring them up to Mount Hor, and strip Aaron of his garments, and put them on Eleazar, his son, for Aaron shall be gathered to his people and die there. So Moses did just as the Lord commanded, and they went up to Mount Hor in the sight of all the congregation. Moses stripped Aaron of his garments and put them on Eleazar, his son. And Aaron died there on the top of the mountain. Then Moses and Eleazar came down from the mountain. Now when all the congregation saw that Aaron was dead, all the house of Israel mourned for Aaron 30 days. This is the word of the Lord. This morning our passage speaks about the death of Aaron. And Aaron's death is significant for several reasons. First of all, Aaron is the brother of the leader of that nation. He's the brother of Moses. Moses, the nation's military hero. Moses, the nation's great prophet. Aaron is his brother. Secondly, Aaron is also the spokesman for this man, Moses. Aaron is the spokesman to the people. Aaron was also the spokesman to the king of Egypt. Aaron was the public voice of Moses. Now thirdly, Aaron is also the high priest of the nation. Because of that, next to Moses, Aaron is the most prominent figure in the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. If you think about it, in the book of Exodus, in the book of Leviticus, in the book of Numbers, who is mentioned most frequently next to Moses? It's Aaron. And the reason for Aaron's prominence is the priesthood. Aaron is the first, the founding high priest of Israel. Now, why is that a big deal? Well, most people today could not even name some living priest. But back then, you need to understand that in those days, for these people, religion was not a secondary or tertiary or incidental aspect for the nation. For Israel, religion was at the core of their identity, at the core of their government. Israel was a theocracy. It may have been the only true theocracy that ever existed. Now, you children who are listening, taking notes, what is a theocracy? A theocracy is a government run not by a king, not by Congress or by courts, not by a parliament. It's a government run by God himself. That is a theocracy. A theocracy is government by a living God. And that is what Israel had in those times, the presence of the glory of the Lord dwelling in a way that they could see at the center of their tents. God was their king before they ever had a king. And so when God is king, the priests are the people who have direct access to his presence. Aaron was the high priest. Aaron, as high priest, had direct access to God, direct access that no other person shared. Only Aaron, as priests once a year could enter into the Holy of Holies, the innermost place where God held court, where God came to be with his people. And so the death of Aaron in our passage is significant. We see three things about it. First of all, we see the priest who is denied. The priest who is denied. Secondly, the priest who dies. Priest who dies. And then thirdly, the priest who continues. So the priest who is denied, the priest who dies, and the priest who continues. Verses 22 through 24, we see the priest who is denied. Aaron, the high priest, is denied entrance into the good land. Now, we see the people are moving on a path. The whole nation is moving on a path that's going to take them out of the wilderness after these 40 years. Verse 22, they are leaving Kadesh. The Lord is taking them around Edom and into Canaan. The Lord is taking them to the good land, to their homeland. Finally, it's about to happen. But Aaron is denied entrance. Verse 24, it says, Aaron shall be gathered to his people. That's just an idiom for saying that Aaron will die. For he shall not enter the land which I have given to the children of Israel. Why? Why are they all going in and he's going to be held back? Why? It says, because you rebelled against my word at the water of Meribah. Why is Aaron denied entrance into the gift land? It was because he and Moses rebelled. Aaron rebelled at the water of quarrels, Meribah. 2 weeks earlier, we looked at Moses and Aaron's rebellion at the waters of Meribah. One of the consequences was, because they were rebellious, Aaron, the high priest of the Lord, is excluded from entering the promised land with everybody else. All the rest are going to be going in, but not Aaron. Aaron, the man who has exclusive annual access to the presence of God, he is rejected from entering the territory of the people of God. Now, for this man and his position, for this man's life, it would be the ultimate disinvitation. It would be like there's some wedding, some big, grand wedding. Everyone who matters will be at that wedding. The people you love, your friends, your family, they will all be at this wedding. But you will not receive an invitation to this wedding. Now, maybe you know something of this, what this would have been like. Maybe you are something of an outcast socially. Maybe you've been blackballed in the family or professionally. Maybe you've just always been that way. You've always lived on the fringes of the social circles. Or maybe you once were in, but something changed. You're not as hot as you used to be. Younger talent, younger beauty, higher performers have just edged you out. You are not in. In Aaron's case, it wasn't that his star had dimmed. In Aaron's case, it was his attitude and his own behavior that got him removed from the guest list, that turned him away from the door. And there's a warning in this. There's a warning in this for all of us. Aaron, a man who had great access, Aaron, a man who had great prominence and great influence, he got his keys taken away from him. Was it because Aaron was young, impetuous, and he made some kind of immature, rash decision that can be so typical of impulsive young men? No, when Aaron rebelled against the Lord, Aaron was nearly 120 years old. It was elderly sin. It was geriatric sin. He was a seasoned leader of the people and priesthood for nearly four decades, and then he did this. So be warned. Aaron was seasoned, mature, experienced, and gifted. And that means no matter how long you have walked with God, no matter how high your star has risen, you are always susceptible to great sin. The Bible warns, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. Deuteronomy 4 warns, only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Pride can make fools of old men. This is a warning against late-term rebellion. You've been a faithful elder. You've been a faithful deacon for decades. Praise God for that. But watch, pray, because sin still crouches at the door. You've been married for years. You've been married for decades. Wonderful. Are you becoming sweeter with age? Or are you becoming more sour with age? Have you become more kind as the years go by? Or are you becoming more cutting with time passing? Aaron, though he was a high priest for decades, he was made of the same human flesh as us. And so don't rely on your track record. Don't rely on your good history. Romans 11 warns us, well said, because of unbelief, they were broken off. They were broken off, and you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear. 2 Peter 3 warns, beware, lest you also fall from your own steadfastness. You're perhaps in a position of mature stability and strength. Good, good. But watch your heart. Guard your heart. The wise person can be questioned. The wise person knows that they need people who will offer them critique. The wise person knows that they're not as wise as they would like to believe. It was less than a day after I was preparing these words, someone offered me some critique, something that could be improved with things with the worship services. And I did not like it, but I needed it. So beware. We've looked at the priest who is denied, and it's a warning. Now, let's look at the priest who dies. And this is a grief. It's not only a grief, it's an occasion for worry, for anxiety. Though Aaron sinned significantly at the end, Aaron was a faithful servant of God. Aaron is not cursed by God. It's not as though Aaron didn't sin greatly at other times either. You'll recall that Aaron was also in the past complicit in the false worship of the golden calf. And you'll remember also that Aaron was complicit in the rebellion earlier against Moses' interracial marriage. But in all of that, with all those sins, and this final sin at rebellion, God chose Aaron, and God found Aaron to be faithful. Recall the good fruit that was throughout the course of Aaron's life. Aaron was used with his gift of public speaking. Aaron was used to help Moses, and he did that well. And Aaron, along with her, held up Moses' arms in prayer so that Israel won the battle against Amalek. He did that. And recall also that Aaron dined on the mountain with all of the other elders, and Aaron with them saw the presence of the Lord standing on that pavement that was like sapphire. And Aaron is the one who stood between the living and the dead when tens of thousands were dying of the plague. All that Aaron did, day after day, year after year. Aaron also did this. Aaron carried all the names of the people into the presence of God. Aaron wore their names into his presence, on his shoulders. Aaron took them into the presence of God, all the way in. Aaron did that. Aaron brought their sins. Aaron brought their needs. Aaron brought their sadness and their sorrows into the presence of God. Aaron drew near to God for them, and Aaron found favor for them with God. It was because of Aaron that the people knew that they were right with God. Now, given the great sins that Aaron did, maybe you're surprised that he could still be and have been the high priest until the day of his death. This is grace. This is grace. God populates his presence with messy people. That's grace. But now, here at the age of 123, Aaron dies. He's not struck down. He just dies. He's old. The high priest has died. And so the question for the people is this: is it all over? This man who is at the core of our national identity, this man who is our access, our representative with God, is it all over now? If you read Exodus all the way through Leviticus, all the way through Numbers, it's not a surprise when you come to verse 21 here, or 29 here, that the people mourn when Aaron dies. The usual term of mourning, the usual period, was 7 days. Aaron is so significant. Aaron is so important to these people. Aaron is so loved by these people that they don't mourn just for a week. They mourn for 4 weeks. It's a month of mourning. Their sister, Aaron and Moses' sister, Miriam, she died in verse 1 of this chapter. Now here at the end of the chapter, Aaron has died here in verse 28. And so for you, this is your question. Are you facing the end of something significant like this? The end of something that was good and that had been there for a long time? The end of something that was stable in your life? A marriage is ending. Your parents are splitting up. Your career is over. Now what are you going to do? You're having to transition out of this into this. Your parenting days are ending or are over. Your children are gone. They're adults now. A significant relationship has died. A pregnancy ended, but no birth. There is sorrow for what is gone, and there's uncertainty. There's fear about what comes next. What will comfort you in your sorrow? When you lose someone who had been there all of your life, when change that you never wanted is breaking into your life, what will comfort you? Well, first of all, you need the believing community. You need the believing community. Verse 29, the Israelites mourn together for a month. You need the believing community in your sorrow. And so, disclose your sorrow. Let the other people fulfill the word, weep with those who weep. Let them in to your sadness. Be with one another in your sadness and loss. Well, what will speak to your fear, to your late night worrying about what is going to happen now? Your midday racing thoughts that you can barely even focus on your work because you are so worried about what is going to happen now. What should you do? How's it going to work out? Well, secondly, you need to hear from God. You need to hear from God. And note this, God is still speaking. Verse 23, in the sin of Aaron and in the aging out of Aaron, the Lord is still speaking. Verse 23, and the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in Mount Hor. In the valley of the shadow of Aaron's death, the Lord is speaking. And they listened to the Lord. Verse 27, so Moses did just as the Lord commanded. So in their time of Aaron's rejection, and in their time of transition and of endings, in their time of sorrow, they listened to the word of the Lord. And so it is with you. Are you mourning a loss? The Lord is speaking. There's sympathy in God's word. There are words to give voice to your heavy heart, that weight inside you. turn into the Word in your sorrow. Well, are you afraid? Are you worried? Worried about a priesthood without Aaron? Worried about life after the military? Worried about life after a divorce? Worried about life after your health is shot? The Lord is speaking. There's direction for your thoughts. There's a place on which you can cast your care and your anxious thoughts. There are promises that you can cling to when you are sinking. And there are answers to the questions that you have in the Word of the Lord. There are histories in the Word of the Lord that are like your own history, in which the Lord proved himself then, and he will prove himself now for you. So direct your thoughts. Don't let your thoughts just run loose like a swarm of houseflies. Come into his presence. The voice from heaven is saying, "This is my beloved Son. Hear him." Whether you're a Christian or whether you're just listening here today, you're someone who's investigating Jesus, all of us face fear and sorrow. And what is it that we want when we're worried? What is it that we want? We want someone trustworthy who can speak to our situation and assure us. We want someone trustworthy who can sympathize with what we're going through. We want someone knowledgeable and experienced who can tell us, how can I steer through the murky water of the night of my soul? How? Who will be there? Who will tell me? When you come to the Bible, and when you come to it in good faith, and you ask God to speak to you in it, he will. If you come in sincerity and you say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears," God will speak to you. He will speak in this book. The promise is given. Those who seek him will find him. So you need to hear from God. Thirdly, though, you also need to obey the clear commands of the Lord. You need to obey the clear commands of the Lord. Verse 27, it says, God spoke, and Moses did just as the Lord commanded. When you look through the Bible, there is one phrase that often accompanies the mention of Moses and Aaron. What is often said when Moses or Aaron are mentioned? It's the phrase like this, just as the Lord commanded, or according to the commandment of the Lord. Moses and Aaron, at so many points, all through their days, did just as the Lord commanded. Aaron and Moses obeyed the clear commands of the Lord. Now, in the Word of the Lord, there are statutes, there are laws, there are commandments, there are ordinances. You children who are listening and learning, what are the ordinances of the Lord? Well, you could think of it this way. An ordinance is a system set up by God. For example, the temple system, that was an ordinance of the Lord. The calendar of specific sacrifices, that was another ordinance that the Lord set up. And the office of the priesthood was another ordinance of the Lord. The Lord gave to them rules, stipulations about priests and how to keep the priesthood going after the death of a priest. And that's what we see here. They might be wondering what is going to happen with their high priest when he dies. They might worry about what changes are going to come because of his death. But they look to the Word of God. The ordinances of God address this loss, this death of the high priest. And they obey. They obey the command. They obey the ordinances of the Lord, even in their sorrow. And that's a challenge for you today. Have you lost a loved one? Have you lost stability in your life? Are you worried about tomorrow and what's next? The Lord has spoken. Go to him in his word. And as you find direction from the Lord, obey the word of the Lord in your days of loss, in your days of anxiety. Let me note two things that can happen as you do this. As you do that, as you look for him and listen to him in his word, and as you start to obey the things that you see there, you will find this: his commandments will keep you from spiraling into destructive self-pity. What happens when you're swallowed up with sorrow? What happens when you're swallowed up with worry? It can start to get this downhill momentum, and you get sucked into it, and you get stuck, and you suddenly realize, I am not in a well place. Here are two things that his commandments will do if you hear them and obey them. The commandments will point you upward. You're sinking down, the commandments will point you upward to God. You get commandments like this: come to the house of the Lord, even with your tears. The commandments will not only point you upward to God, the commandments will also point you outward to people. Instead of being swallowed up into yourself, you'll be able to head outward and realize, this is a populated planet. There are things to do that will keep me from being completely self-preoccupied. Care for the needy, visiting the sick, all of that in the commandments of the Lord. It's the way out. So we've looked at the priest who's denied. We've looked at the priest who dies. Now let's look at the priest who continues. The priest who continues. The text focuses on the high priest, Aaron. The text also focuses on the next high priest, Eleazar. Who is Eleazar? He was the third son of Aaron. The older two sons, Nadab and Abihu, were struck down on the opening activities of the tabernacle decades back. There was so much imperfection surrounding the priests that were appointed by God. But here's the biggest imperfection about the priests. It's not their sins. As numerous, as egregious as their sins were, it's their death. That's the biggest imperfection about these priests. Aaron was a good high priest for 40 years, but he died. And his son Eleazar, he was also, it turns out, a good high priest. But he dies too, at the end of the book of Joshua. And the book of Hebrews reflects on this and observes this. It speaks of this seeming imperfection of the priesthood ordinances. What's the imperfection of this priesthood? Hebrews 7 speaks to this. It says, there were many priests. There were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing. One imperfection in the priesthood was that the priests would eventually die. They couldn't keep doing what they were doing. They couldn't continue. And so over and over, another high priest was needed when a priest died. Death. Death is the imperfection which ruins everything. Not just the priesthood. Marriages. They come to an end by death, by divorce. The perfect job that you have, it will end one day. It won't stay the same. Childhood comes to an end. And so you see, in this symbolic and sad ritual, at the death of Aaron, verse 26, they strip Aaron of his priestly uniform, and they put them on Eleazar, his son and his successor. It's a time of sorrow. You don't want a priest who dies. Why? Because the priest is your man who gets you in with God. The priest is the one who carries your cares and your needs to the place where God will hear. Not only that, the priest is the one who carries your name, carries you into the place where God is. I'm going to make a universal claim that the Bible itself makes. Everyone here is wired to need the nearness of God. When God created us all, he created us to be near to him, in company with him, and to be in company with other people. When all things were right, we took walks with God in the cool of day. You were made for that. And because of that, when Adam sinned, all of that broke. We lost access to him. We were cast out. All humanity was cast out of his presence. We need, all of us, the priest who will restore that, who will bring us near to God and bring God near to us. And without that, that is why we feel distant. We feel distant from God, And that's mirrored in how we can feel distant from people. You can be in a room full of happy people who are laughing, who are connecting, and you can feel so alone in the middle of it, and unknown in the middle of it. And that's why in suffering and in sorrow, you feel so alone, unknown. That's why loneliness hurts. It's why people can feel lonely in marriage. It's why people can feel lonely outside of marriage. You need the priest. You need the priest who will not die. The priest whose work to restore a place with God will continue, and that work will never end. In the gospel, we have such a high priest, Jesus Christ. Aaron, the high priest, died outside the border. But Jesus Christ, the high priest, who died outside the border, he died so that we could come into the borders, into the kingdom. Aaron, the high priest, died outside the border because of his own sins. His robes were stripped from him and given to another. Jesus Christ is the high priest who was punished for our sins so that we could receive his righteous robes and we could come near and close to God. 1 Peter 3 says that Jesus suffered for sins once, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. How does that help you in your sorrow and in your loss? Well, if by faith Jesus is your high priest, then you know and you believe that Jesus is the last high priest. He's the last one because he lives. Though he died, yet he now lives, and he always lives to speak for you. He continues forever, it says in Hebrews. He has an unchangeable priesthood, it says. Here's how that brings comfort in sorrow and loss. He made a new covenant. He's the mediator of a new covenant. And in that new covenant, you receive the promise of an eternal inheritance. As the final and greater high priest, the greatest high priest, Jesus brokered a deal with God by his own death so that death cannot touch your eternal inheritance. You've lost things now, and sorrow is fitting. You've got something that's untouchable by death in Christ, something precious, something unlosable because of Jesus. This eternal inheritance is the resurrection and the restoration of everything that ever made you cry. This is the restoration of everything that caused a tear to come down your face. It will all be undone. It will all be returned. It will all be made new. Is Jesus your high priest? Are you listening to the words and the commands of Jesus? If so, then you have started to taste the love of God in Christ. He gives you nearness when you're not alone. He will comfort you in your sadness. He will give you joy when the night is dark. If you've come to know Jesus Christ, this is your growing experience. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we live and we travel in this wilderness life, but we know that because of Christ, we are coming to our homeland. And so we pray for those who don't know you, who are out in the wilderness, who don't have a high priest, who don't have a people. You would show yourself to them, that they would seek you and find you. And for those of us who do have you, but they're in the dark night, their soul is overwhelmed by sorrow and grief and worry, we pray that you would speak again and that your sheep would hear your voice and know the leading. This is the way, walk in it. Speak again, Lord, we pray. Your sheep are listening. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.